الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم تسليما كثيرا. أما بعد، كتاب التوحيد والملخص في شرح كتاب التوحيد لفضيلة الشيخ الدكتور صالح الفوزان حفظه الله تعالى، باب ما جاء في الرقى والتمائم. We started this chapter in a previous class from the explanation of Kitab al-Tawheed. This chapter number 8, Ruqa, incantations, talismans and amulets. And this chapter explains, as we mentioned in a previous class, the Shaykh Salih Al-Fawzan says, this chapter teach us and we learn in it what is forbidden from ruqa. Not all of them are forbidden. What is forbidden as related to ruqa, talisman and amulets. Shaykh Muhammad Abdul Wahhab rahimahullah ta'ala, he mentioned 4 narrations. The first narration, Fabi Bashir al-Ansari radiallahu anhu, and we already read the explanation of that one. Likewise, Ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu, we read the explanation of that one as well. And also the Shaykh, he mentioned some details. As for Ruqya, it could be forbidden or legislated. The forbidden ruqya is that which contains shirk. And the permissible ruqya is that which is free from shirk. Likewise, tama'im. A tama'im, talismans, is forbidden. In general, talisman is like when they write stuff in a piece of paper or a piece of cloth and they hang them around the neck, they hang them around the wrist and the like. That's forbidden. But if it is made of the Quran, they write some ayats, the Shaykh Salih Al-Fawzan, Hafidhahullah, says there is a difference of opinions amongst the ulama. However, he says, the correct opinion or the soundest of opinion is that it's not permissible as well. Because the Qur'an was not revealed for those things. And also, لِسَدِّ الذَّرَائِعِ, to close the door in front of those who they may start writing the Qur'an, then they be mixing it with something else. وَأَمَّا التِّوَلَى. التِّوَلَى is that something that they used to do it so that a woman would stay with her husband and a man would stay married to his wife. And that's sihr. Shaykh says, min as-sihri. It is from magic. They go and do some magic work, wal-yadu billah, so that that woman will stay with this man and that man would stay married to this woman. The Shaykh says, فَهِيَ مَمْنُوعَ بِغَيْرِ خِلَافِ. Tiwala is forbidden without any difference of opinions of the ulama. I just gave you a brief summary. Now we continue, inshaAllah ta'ala. قال شيخ الإسلام شيخ محمد بن عبد الوهاب رحمه الله في كتاب التوحيد وعن عبد الله بن عكيم مرفوعا من تعلق شيئا وكل إليه رواه أحمد والترمذي رحمهم الله. The next narration, Abdullah ibn Ukaym narrated the following marfu' hadith. Marfu' means that it's traced to the Prophet ﷺ. This is the Prophet ﷺ's statement. Whoever uses, attaches, or wears a talisman to himself, somebody wears or attaches a talisman, will have that talisman put in charge of him. This is collected by Imam Ahmad and Imam At-Tirmidhi rahimahum Allah Ta'ala. Abdullah ibn Ukaym, the narrator of this hadith, his kunya is Aba Ma'bad al-Juhani al-Kufi. Aba Ma'bad al-Juhani al-Kufi. أدرك زمن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم. Yeah, he was in a time of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم. When the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم was alive, this man was alive as well. ولا يعرف أنه سمع منه. However, the Shaykh said, it is not known if this man has heard from the Messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم. He was in a time of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, but it's not known if this man have heard directly from the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The Shaykh explains some of the wordings. من تعلق شيئا أي التفت قلبه عن الله إلى شيء يعتقد أنه ينفعه أو يدفع عنه البلاء. Here he's talking about the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, talking about if somebody uses, wears, attach himself to something, a talisman for anything actually. He says, meaning here that the persons depend on that thing. Instead of one's heart turns to Allah, depend on Allah. Now that person is depending on that thing to cure him, to bring his benefits, or to repel harms. In times of distress, times of calamity, times of hardship, we are taught through the correct aqidah that we turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We ask Allah. We turn to Allah with repentance, asking Allah for forgiveness, making dua. But now in this, certain people, they turn to some objects, whether a tree, whether anything, thinking that that thing is going to help them out. So if somebody does something, Allah will leave them to that thing. So they won't get nothing from Allah. And you think an object would give something to a human being? Al-ma'na al-ijmali al-hadith, the general explanation of this hadith, يقول الشيخ الوالد شيخ صالح الفوزان حفظه الله تعالى هذا حديث وجيز اللفظ عظيم الفائدة. يخبر فيه النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم أن من التفت بقلبه أو فعله أو بهما جميعا إلى شيء يرجو منه النفع أو دفع الضر وكله الله إلى ذلك الشيء الذي تعلقه. Here the Shaykh حفظه الله تعالى says, this is a very concise narration, very small. Five words. Very small narration. Contains only five words. Yet, but it is great in the benefits it contains. And this is لأن الرسول صلى الله عليه وسلم أعطي جوامع الكلم. The Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم was given this. He speaks little, but he means a lot. But now you find people, some people speak all day, but you still can't understand what they say. The Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, he will speak small words that mean a lot. Some small ahadith, actually some of the ulama, they have explained them in volumes. صلى الله عليه وسلم. So in this hadith, the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم is informing us that anyone who attaches himself or herself, this is for men or women, not just. Usually the ulama, they address he, literally, instead to say he and she, he and she, he and she. When they say he, the women are included as well in the ruling. Unless if there is a specific ruling to the men, then it will be mentioned. It will be mentioned. So here he said, any person who attached himself, their hearts, or their actions, or both, the heart or the actions, to a thing, any object, anything, hoping that that thing bring them benefit or repel harm away from them, Allah will leave them to that thing. Okay, you want it from them? Okay, well wait, see if you can get it from them in our terms. So Allah will leave them. And that's a punishment in this life, وَالْعِيَادُ بِاللَّهِ مِنْ خِذْلَانِ. Allah will leave them to that thing. Because benefits is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He is the one who brings benefits. And He's the one who repels harms. He's the one that helps the peoples in times of difficulty and distress and the like. قَالَ فَمَنْ تَعَلَّقَ بِاللَّهِ كَفَاهُ وَيَسَّرَ لَهُ كُلَّ عُسْرٍ. If a person is attached to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, through his heart and through his actions, he believes in Allah, he calls upon Allah, he believes in his heart that no one can bring help except Allah. And when people help you is by Allah's leave, not because Allah don't know about it. It's not like Allah don't want it for you, but other people say, okay, I got you. No, it's not like that. Even when you ask someone for a ride and turn you down and somebody heard and said, okay, I get you, I give you a ride. Still that person, he ain't give you a ride without Allah's leave. Only by Allah's permission. So here the Shaykh, after he mentioned the position of those who attach themselves to other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah leave them to those things. And of course, with no doubt, this is our aqeedah, those things will not benefit those people in anything. Now he mentioned that, as for the one whose heart and action are attached to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they depend on Allah, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is sufficient for them. And Allah will make a way out for them in any difficulty time. Doesn't matter how big, how huge it may seem to you, there is an ease. No matter how that tunnel may seem to you, how long, there is the light in the end of it. No matter how that night seems long, the dawn is coming after it. But some of us, they want it yesterday. They just want it now. Inna ma'a al-usri yusra. With difficulty always come ease. We just have to continue to do what we're supposed to do, what we were created. And that's what's going to make it easy for us in times of difficulty. You're going through any hardship, whether in money, business, family, health, any hardship. What you do, continue worshiping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah put you into that? By the qadr, by His qadr. Keep in mind, some of us, we put ourselves into that. We choose to do these things. But you turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, continue to worship Allah, remembering Allah, Allah will make a way out. When? None of us business. When? It's up to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's for Allah. We don't say, okay, akhi, what you're saying is good, but for how long am I going to be patient? For how long am I going to worship Allah? How long? You don't know? Hatta ya'tiyaka al-yaqeen. Until death come to you. That's what you do. But some people, man, they think it's like, this deen is like, man, getting a sandwich or something. 15 minutes, come on, 15 minutes. That's it, you want to worship Allah, 15 minutes, and then red carpet is in front of you, roses. Man, the messenger didn't have it like that. How long the Prophet ﷺ suffered in Mecca? Some people, they forget the history of the Prophet ﷺ. They just look at the Medina, the conquest of Mecca, and look at Medina. 13 years of hardship. Some of us, we can take it for 13 hours. Find him, he's gone. He's not in the masjid anymore. He went back to smoking again. She took off the niqab and the khimar. Instead to increase ibadah, in the time we're supposed to increase it, some of us desert the ibadah. That's why knowledge is very important. That's why taking the knowledge from the ulama, not from one another, from the scholars. Because the scholars, Allah has given them the knowledge and they want good for the people. So if anyone attached themselves to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will make things easy for them. Make a way out for them from any difficulty. وَمَنْ تَعَلَّقَ بِغَيْرِهِ وَكَلَهُ اللَّهُ إِلَى ذَلِكَ الْغَيْرُ خَذَلَهُ. But if someone attached their hearts to something besides Allah, Allah leave them to that thing. Okay, you want it from them? From that thing? Okay, leave you to that. You think the jinn gonna stay away from you because he put a... What they put on their door?
A reef, a horseshoe.
A reef, a horseshoe? Okay. You're left to that horseshoe. That's it. I hope that person who's tightening the screws, because that horseshoe may fall on him one day and hit him in the head. Allah knows that. So Allah will leave them to that thing. A horseshoe gonna bring in, gonna repel harm. It may be the source of harm, right or wrong. If I fell on that guy, like we say, لا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله. طيب مناسبة الحديث للباب. The relevance of this hadith into this chapter. قال أن فيه النهي والتحذير من التعلق بغير الله في جلب المنافع ودفع المضار. The reason the Shaykh Muhammad Abdul Wahhab رحمه تعالى selected this narration into this chapter because it contains a prohibition and warning against attaching oneself and one's heart to other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to bring you benefit or to repel harm. This is forbidden. And that's exactly why many people, ignorance, they go to these wicked people. And unfortunately, some people, they make money of this, become their business, alayhi billah. Some of them claim they memorize the Qur'an. You think they benefited from the Qur'an they memorized? Now, in some Muslim countries, you find them, he's the imam in the masjid. He leads the tarawih and everything, every salat. But then after the salat, men, women, especially women, ignorant people, they don't know, they go to the imam somewhere and he writes for them. They give them talismans, stuff, this. Some of them, they mix Qur'an with non-Qur'an. Some, they just write anything. He's busy, he got like 10 of them. Like signing autograph. Alright, take this, mix it and dip it in water. Dip it in olive oil, dip it in honey. He don't even know what he's talking about. take $10 from this one. What is it for? Oh yeah, my son is going for this big interview. For what? Well, he has PhD. Oh yeah, that's $50. Not $10. All right, Allah understand. What's for? Well, I have only girls. I want a boy. That's $500. Subhanallah. And people pay their money, and that's how they go. And then if years go by, a couple of years, nothing happened, another girl, they came to him, what happened? He's like, how did you use it? They start telling him, see, that's not what I told you. You tell me you remember after a couple of years. Allah understand. Subhanallah. This story seems like entertainment for us, but that's reality. It's a sad reality. It's a nightmare for a lot of people. They depend on this instead of depending on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Unfortunately, some of these people, they pray Salah. Maybe they made Hajj, they fast Ramadan. That's why it is incumbent upon us to learn this deen. So that if we find ourselves in a places like this or facing people like that, we can give them this. We don't have to give them a lecture. We don't have to wait, okay, are you guys doing this wrong? But I'm not going to tell you anything. Give me a mic. No, ain't no mic. It's reality now. All right, so now you're going to, whether you're going to talk to them if you know their language and if you have the skills to give da'wah and relate to them, patience too, or just give them the book. Remember, say, subhanAllah, what these people are doing. This is not right, man. It's not right. You may talk to somebody and so you say, why is not right? Because it's forbidden in Islam. What do you mean it's forbidden? That man memorized Quran. He's a Muslim. He's the Imam of the Masjid. See how they get people? See how people get it twisted? What do you mean it's forbidden in Islam? That Imam is not a Jew or a Christian or Buddhist. That's the Imam, brother. That's all we know. My father know him. We used to go to him. My mother used to go to him, rahimahumullah. Yes, your mother, rahimahumullah. Now you tell them, listen, man, it's forbidden, because it's forbidden in Islam. Because the Prophet ﷺ said, you believe in the Prophet ﷺ? Yes. Everything he says, or just so-so? 50-50 or 50-nifty? Huh? Which one? No, you believe in everything that the Prophet ﷺ says, and that's the, what the Prophet ﷺ said. Read Kitab al-Tawheed, this chapter number 7, chapter number 8, chapter number 9. Read. And if Allah wants good for that person, he's going to go. You know, mashallah. Tayyib. Ma yustafadu min al-hadith. What is some of the benefits from this hadith? Awwalan an-nahyu ala al-ta'alluq bi ghayrillah. From the first benefit from this hadith, it is forbidden for someone to attach themselves, their hearts, their actions to other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Attach your heart to Allah. You trust Allah. You depend upon Allah. You call upon Allah. You invoke Allah. You do actions for Allah. Number two, wujub al-ta'alluq billahi fi jami' al-umur. With the opposite of the first benefit, since it is forbidden in the first one to attach oneself to other than Allah, now the obligation, not just a choice, it is obligatory to attach your heart to Allah in all of your affairs. Not sometimes, okay, salat is for Allah, fasting for Allah, but then dua is for somebody else. No. Tawakkul is on somebody else. Some people, they do that, Muslims. Fast, Ramadan, you tell, why you fasting? For this tree? A'udhu billah, akhi, for Allah. You just pray now for the wall? Akhi, the wall is only sutra, taqillah, what you talking about? Pray for Allah. But then they go and depend 100% into their manager to give them the job. They think the manager is the one who's going to give them the job. Who gives the job? Allah. It's Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You follow the means. You hear the the announcement or whatever, what they call the ad. You read the ad and they say, okay, we need somebody with a master in this field. You have two of them, not just one. And then they said, this is what they want. This is like 3 years experience. He got 7 years experience. They want to be fluent in English. Man, he's fluent in Italian too and English. Now you go there and you apply. And then they say, man, sorry. So what are you going to do now? Fight? Say, alhamdulillah. Because Allah gives. Not that person. Some people, they think, no, the manager. Some people, they go and bribe them, give them like $2,000. I got you. I got you. See, the kafir manager, he's going to say, I got you. That's all he know. He ain't say, but if he goes to a Muslim who's upon Tawheed, now there's some Muslims that are like that too. I got you. That's it, man. I say, you're in. That's it. No. But the Muslim upon Tawheed, he's like, listen, this look good. Alhamdulillah, make dua. You know, man, I'm here to make decisions, yes, but only by Allah's will. Doesn't matter. And I have other people above me too. I just submit this to them and they do their things. There is one room here, I never been there. And that's where decisions are made. So what I do, mashallah, yes, I'm telling you it's okay, alhamdulillah. But make dua, akhi. Depend on Allah, turn to Allah. And that's the tawheed. Number three, بَيَانُ مَضَرَّةِ الشِّرْكِ وَسُوءِ عَاقِبَتِهِ. Likewise, this hadith tells us clearly the evil of shirk. It's harmful, man. Shirk brings nothing but harm. And likewise, this hadith mentioned the evil consequences of shirk. Because if anyone attached themselves to something which is shirk, Allah abandoned those people, subhanAllah. If somebody is abandoned by Allah, who will have? Huh? Abandon. يَخْذِلُهُمْ. Allah abandons such person. That's it. Number four, أَنَّ الْجَزَاءَ مِنْ جِنْسِ الْعَمَلِ. The reward is in proportion to the action. Number five, أَنَّ نَتِيجَةَ الْعَمَلِ تَرْجُعُ إِلَى الْعَامِلِ خَيْرًا أَوْ شَرًّا. The consequence of the action, whether it be good or bad, actually goes back to the doer of the action himself. You know? وَرَوَى الْإِمَامُ أَحْمَدُ عَنْ رُوَيْفِعَ رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْهُ قَالَ قَالَ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ يَا رُوَيْفِعَ لَعَلَّ الْحَيَاةَ سَتَطُولُ بِكَ فَأَخْبِرِ النَّاسَ أَنَّ مَنْ عَقَدَ لِحْيَتَهُ أَوْ تَقَلَّدَ وَتَرًا أو استنجى برجيع دابة أو عظم فإن محمدا بريء منه صلى الله عليه وسلم. Did you mention the other narration? The fourth narration here in this chapter. That's reported by Imam Ahmad and Abu Dawood and others. And Imam Ahmad and Abu Dawood here he mentioned in the book actually. Doesn't say in others. Reported in this tradition of Ruwayfi' radiallahu anhu, who said that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasallam said to him, O Ruwayfi', that's his name, Ruwayfi', O Ruwayfi', it may be that you will live a longer time after me. So inform people that whoever ties a knot in his beard or places any string or cord around the neck as a charm or cleans himself after toilet with an animal dung or bone, then Muhammad, meaning the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, is free from him. It has nothing to do with him, in other words. Ruwayfi' radiallahu anhu, huwa Ruwayfi' ibn Thabit, that's his name, ibn Thabit ibn Sakan, ibn Adi ibn al-Harith, min Bani Malik ibn Najjar al-Ansari. So he's from the tribe of Bani Najjar. Bani Malik from the tribe of Bani Najjar, from the Ansar. So he's from the Ansar, radiallahu anhum. ولي برقة وطرابلس فافتتح إفريقيا سنة 47 وتوفي ببرقة سنة 56. He was the governor of two cities, برقة and طرابلس. طرابلس is in Libya, and I'm not sure about برقة. Maybe it's in Libya too. والله أعلم. برقة, I think it's still in Libya. والله أعلم. Likewise, he conquered Ifriqiyata. Ifriqiyata could mean two things as well. Whether just Tunisia, actually. Where Tunis, Tunisia. You know Tunisia, right? Where Tunisia is. Or could include, along with Tunisia, Algeria and Morocco. Wallahu a'lam. He conquered Ifriqiya Sanat 47 of the Hijrah, long time ago. And he died in Barqa, this city Barqa, in the year 56 of the Hijrah. As for the one who put a knot in his beard, how we understand this, the Shaykh mentioned, he explained, he says, عَقَدَ لِحْيَتَهُ قِيلَ مَعْنَاهُ مَا يَفْعَلُونَهُ فِي الْحُرُوبِ مِنْ فَتْلِهَا وَعَقْدِهَا تَكَبُّرًا. He's going to give us different statements of the ulama. He says, it was said that people used to do this in time of war. Men, they used to braid and put knots on their hair, on their beards, out of arrogance. Out of arrogance. وقيل معناه معالجة الشعر ليتعقد ويتجعد على وجه التأنث والتنعم. Also another opinion says that men used to do their hair and arrange it in a way that resembles women, والعياذ بالله. وقيل المراد عقدها في الصلاة أي كفها. And also he says, also it could mean those who they tie their hair in the salat. And there is narrations that it is not actually for the people to tie their hair in the salat, but rather they should let it loose. You can this hadith in Sahih Muslim, and you can check Nail al-Awtar of Imam al-Shawkani rahimahullah ta'ala. He mentioned, you know, some details in there that a person, even those who have a braid or ponytail or whatever they call it in the salah, they should let it loose. Okay, tay.
You're talking about men in this case? Men in salah should have their hair loose.
I know. Some men, they have a long hair, but they be tying it behind. No, the salat, they should leave it loose. المعنى الإجمالي للحديث, the general explanation of the hadith. يخبر صلى الله عليه وسلم أن هذا الصحابي سيطول عمره حتى يدرك أناسا يخالفون هديه صلى الله عليه وسلم في اللحى الذي هو توفيرها وإكرامها إلى العبث بها على وجه يتشبهون فيه بالأعاجم أو بأهل الترف والميوع. So in this hadith, our beloved Prophet ﷺ is informing this companion. He informed the companion that he will live longer until he sees certain people who will go against the guidance of the Prophet ﷺ. Because the Prophet ﷺ, he died in the beginning of the 11th year of the Hijrah. And this man died on the 56, so he lived longer, some 45 years after the Prophet. So this man, the Prophet informed him at that time, when the people, they were upon one thing, except for the hypocrites, who pretend Islam and like. But here he informed him. He informed him that he will live longer until he sees certain people going against the guidance of the Prophet ﷺ as related to the beard. And he mentioned the guidance of the Prophet ﷺ is that to let your beard grow and you take good care of it. But certain people, they will be playing with it. Anyway, they treat their beards in a way that they fall into imitating the non-Muslims. Or falling into imitating women, وَلَيَادَ بِاللَّهِ أَوْ يُخِلُّونَ بِعَقِيدَةِ التَّوْحِيدِ بِاسْتِعْمَالِ الْوَسَائِلِ الشِّرْكِيَّةِ فَيَلْبَسُونَ الْقَلَائِلِ أَوْ يُلْبِسُونَهَا دَوَابَّهُمْ يَسْتَدْفِعُونَ بِهَا الْمَحْذُورِ. Likewise, so many things, couple of things the Prophet ﷺ said to this companion, that if he live longer, he will see certain things that are not from the guidance of the Prophet ﷺ. Also, the people, they will do certain things that are not from Torah, the Aqidah of Tawheed. Actually, against the creed of Tawheed. By those people using some things, means of shirk, such as bracelet, talismans, they will wear it themselves or put it on their animals, with the intentions to repel harm from them or from their animals. That's shirk. These are things, the companions, none of them did these things, radiallahu anhum. And he's telling him that you're going to see other people, they're going to do this. أَوْ يَرْتَكِبُونَ مَا نَهَا عَنْهُ نَبِيُّهُمْ صَلَّى اللَّهُ وَسَلَّمْ مِنَ الْإِسْتِجْمَارِ بِرَوْثِ الدَّوَابِ وَالْأَذَامِ. Likewise, another thing that he said to him, you will see certain people do, that they will fall into that which their Prophet, these are Muslims doing these things, what the Prophet ﷺ has made forbidden for them, such as cleaning oneself after using the bathroom with animal dungs or their bones. That's what we call istijmar. What is the difference between istijmar and istinja?
Water.
Istinja, when a person cleans themselves by the way of water and after using the bathroom. Istijmar is when you use a dry cleaning, not the Chinese. You know what I'm saying? Not a dry cleaning or clothes. I mean, like just. I mean, like dry without water, with such as what? Toilet paper, Kleenex, rocks, smooth, right? Smooth rocks and the like, cloth. But it's not permissible to clean oneself with dung or bones, animal bones. فأوصى النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم صاحبه أن يبلغ الأمة أن نبيها صلى الله عليه وسلم يتبرأ ممن يفعل شيئا من ذلك. He says, so after he mentioned to this companion, this great companion, some of the violations that the people were falling to, opposing the guidance of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم in their appearance, in their creed, and even in Tahara, purification, then he said to him, he advised him to convey from the Prophet ﷺ, convey to this Ummah that the Prophet of this Ummah is free from anyone who does such actions. Shaykh in explanation, بَرِيءٌ مِنْهُ هَذَا وَعِيدٌ شَدِيدٌ فِي حَقِّ مَنْ فَعَلَ ذَلِكَ. Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم is free from these people. So this is a very severe warning or threat, actually, pertaining to those who do such things. مناسبة الحديث للباب, the relevance of this hadith to this chapter. قال الشيخ الفوزان حفظه الله أن فيه النهي عن تقليد الأوتار لدفع المحذورات وأنه شرك لأنه لا يقدر على ذلك إلا الله لأنه لا يقدر على ذلك إلا الله. He says, because in this hadith, whoever it is forbidden to attach any string or a rope or something like a thread to oneself or to any object, animals, cars, this and that, with the intention that that thread, that string will repel harms and keep that person or that thing from being harmed. And that is shirk, actually. It is act of shirk. لأنه لا يقدر على ذلك إلا الله. Because none can repel harm except Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. ما يستفاد من الحديث, what is the benefits of this hadith? Number one, علم من أعلام النبوة, فإن الرويفي عن طالت حياته إلى سنة 56 هجرية. This is one of the hadith that mentions in it, the Prophet ﷺ mentioned in it that this companion will live longer, and yes, he did live long. Prophet ﷺ doesn't speak out of his desires, he is a true prophet from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. As opposed the liars from the soothsayers and the like, Miss Cleo and all of them. Remember Miss Cleo? And all of them. They say, oh, this king gonna die next year, right? That's what they say. This king gonna die next year. This president gonna get shot. Yeah, they just lie. They have no clue what they're talking about. They say, oh, this king, he's gonna die. Just because they receive some narration that this king has cancer. A lot of people have cancer and live for a long time. People are not, have no disease and they die. And then when they don't die, they're like, oh yeah. And they keep bringing like silly explanations. But here the Prophet ﷺ said that this man's going to live longer, and he did live longer. Number two, وجوب إخبار الناس بما أمروا به ونهوا عنه مما يجب فعله أو تركه. It is obligatory to inform the people with that which they were commanded to do and the things they were commanded to stay away from. Yeah. You have knowledge, you gotta command the people. أخي, do this. Stay away from this. Number three, مشروعية إكرام اللحية وإعفائها وتحريم العبث بها بحلق أو قص أو عقد أو تجعيد أو غير ذلك. It is legislated to treat one's beard in a nice way, such as how nice it is mentioned, by let it grow, and it is forbidden to tamper with it. It is forbidden to tamper with the beard, whether by shaving it, taking away from it, trimming it. Like 3 minutes, some people they trim the beard, like leave it like 2 inches, 3 inches, or even less than that, or by putting knots in it and or doing it or arranging it in a way that resemble the mushrikeen, the kuffar, or resemble women and the like. Number four, تحريم اتخاذ القلادة لدفع المحذور وأنه شرك. Likewise, it is forbidden, strictly forbidden, to take any string or a bracelet or the like with the intention that that string or whatever, it will repel harm. And that is shirk, wal-iyadu billah. It is shirk. Number five, تحريم الاستنجاء بالروث والعظام. It is forbidden, strictly forbidden, to clean oneself after using the bathroom with animal dung or bones. Number 6, أن هذه الجرائم مذكورة من الكبائر, that these heinous crimes mentioned here are from the major sins. We finish, inshallah, this chapter, if you don't mind. Inshallah ta'ala. What time the sunrise? 6:30? Alright, we still have, alhamdulillah, 15 minutes for the time of the salat, inshallah. وعن سعيد بن جبير قال من قطع تميمة من إنسان كان كعدل رقبة رواه وكيع وله عن إبراهيم كانوا يكرهون التمائم كلها من القرآن وغير القرآن. Last narration in this chapter, سعيد بن جبير رضي الله عنه said, whoever cut an amulet or talisman from anyone, it would be equal to liberating and freeing a slave. It was Waqi'a who recorded it, and he reported from Ibrahim al-Nakhi, rahimahumullah, who said, they used to dislike every type of amulets and talismans, whether that contain the verse of the Qur'an or anything else. So they, the companions, mainly Abdullah ibn Mas'ud, because we just read to you narrations of Abdullah ibn Mas'ud. Waqi'a, who's Waqi'a? He's Waqi'a ibn al-Jarrah. Thiqah. Imam. Allah, he was one of the great a'imma of this deen. Sahibu Tasanif. Who was a great imam of hadith and in this deen. He has many books. He died in the year 197 of the Hijrah. Ibrahim, who was Imam Ibrahim al-Nakhi, thiqah min kibar al-fuqaha. This is Ibrahim al-Nakhi. He's thiqah as well. Meaning his hadith is taken, his narrations. From the great jurists and the fuqaha and the great a'imma of this deen, he died in the year 96 of the Hijrah. He says, Kanu, so here when he says Kanu, says meaning that the tabi'een as well, actually, the tabi'een. Kibar al-tabi'een. He says, actually, it's kibar al-tabi'een. Actually, not the companions here. They says, Sheikh Fawzan Hawat Ali says, so when the tabi'i says they used to, they refer to the companions. Here, Sheikh Salah al-Fawzan, he says, this refers to the great companions of Ibn Mas'ud, the main students from Kibar al-Tabi'een, the main scholars from al-Tabi'een who learned from Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu. Ma'na al-Atharain, and this is Atharain, this is two, not a hadith of the Prophet ﷺ, but this is Athar of great scholars. The meaning of these two athar, al-ikhbaru anna man azala an insanin ma yu'alliquhu ala nafsihi li daf'i al-afat falahu min al-thawab mithla thawab a'taqa raqabati min al-riq. They inform us here in these two athar, whoever remove from a person anything that person is hanging on himself with the intention to repel harm, by doing that action, by removing that string or that thing or that bracelet or that talisman, a person will get the reward that is equal as if someone freed a slave. لأن هذا الإنسان صار بتعليق التمائم مستعبدا للشيطان. Subhanallah, why is it Why is it mentioned that if somebody cut this thing, it's as though he has freed a slave? No.
He freed him from shaitan, he freed him from worshipping other than Allah.
Ahsant. Oh, kadalik, exactly. The Shaykh says, because when a person believed that some strength is going to help him or remove harm and this, he became a slave to the shaitan. Subhanallah. So by cutting it loose, freeing him from the shaitan, from being a slave of a shaitan, to turn to be a slave of a Rahman. ويحكي إبراهيم النخعي عن بعض سادات التابعين أنهم يعممون المنع من تعليق التمائم ولو كانت مكتوبا فيها القرآن فقط لسد الذريعة. إبراهيم النخعي رحمه الله, he mentioned that the great أئمة of the تابعين, they used to have the general prohibition, they used to prohibit any talismans or amulets, even if it's written, even if the Quran is written in it alone, just the Quran. Okay? They do this so to shut the door in front of the people. Shut the door. مناسبة الأثرين للباب ظاهرة. The Sheikh says, as for the relevance of this of these two authors in this chapter is obvious, is clear. فإن فيهما حكاية المنع من تعليق التمائم مطلقا عن هؤلاء الأجلاء من سادة التابعين. Because this, it tells us through the statement of this noble tabi'in that it is strictly forbidden to hang or attach any string or amulets and the like. ما يستفاد من الأثرين? What is the benefits? Three benefits. Number one, فضل قطع التمائم. لأن ذلك من إزالة المنكر وتخليص الناس من الشرك. The virtue of cutting off these strings and talismans and amulets and the like, because by doing so, you're removing an evil and freeing the people from shirk. Number two, تحريم تعليق التمائم مطلقا ولو كانت من القرآن عند جماعة من التابعين. It is strictly forbidden, or the use of talismans is strictly forbidden, even if they were made only from the Quran, only what's written in those talismans, only the Quran, with a group of التابعين. Number three, حرص السلف على صيانة العقيدة عن الخرافات. Also, this authors shows how diligent, concerned and serious were the Salaf through their actions and their work and the like to preserve the Aqidah, the creed, from superstition and from all evil and innovation and the like. We had an intahi min hadha al-bab. By this we come to an end of this chapter. The next chapter is من تبرك بشجرة أو حجر نحوها. Whoever seeks blessings through a tree, a stone, or the lung. People are doing things like this. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to benefit us with this. And we ask Him to reward our ulama, Sheikh Muhammad al-Bluhab and Sheikh Salah Fawzan, the great reward of their efforts, along with their brothers amongst the ulama of Ahl al-Sunnah wa Jama'ah. Jazakum Allah khairan, barakallahu feekum, subhanakallahu wa hamdik. أشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت أستغفرك وأتوب إليك, وصلى الله وسلم على محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم تسليما كثيرا. وكان هذا يوم الخامس من رجب لسنة 33,400 للهجرة, which coincide with the 26th of May, the year of 2012, بعد صلاة الفجر بمسجد التوحيد في مدينة ستون ماونتن جورجيا.